she just says, if I would just touch the hem of his garments, I would be made whole. But I have a question for you. If she had not touched Jesus, would she have been healed? Someone please answer. If she had not touched Jesus, would she have been healed? The healing was there. The power was there. The ability for her to be made whole was there. But she had to do something in order to receive it. She had to touch the hem of his garment. And it's only at that point that she was made whole. Remember, if you read the story, there were people who were thronging Jesus. When this woman touched him, he realized that virtue had come out of him. And then they said, Jesus said, hang on a minute, who touched me? The disciples must have been thinking, Master, that's a silly question. You've got all these people around you. Everyone's from you. Everyone wants to touch you. And you're asking, who touched me? But he knew that there was someone who touched him, and the touch drew virtue. He knew that there was someone who touched him, and that made a difference. People of God, my prayer is that as we touch Jesus, our touch will draw virtue. We're not just going to throng around. We're not just going to join the crowd just like others. But we're going to touch him. And that touch will make a difference in our lives in the name of Jesus. So where you are, please just open your heart to God. You know, sometimes when you're up here, you start saying things and you wonder why you're saying it. But then you realize that it's God dealing you that way. That's not in my notes, by the way. That's not part of the message that I've had prepared. But I feel strongly in my spirit to say that to people. Reach out and touch him. It's not because he doesn't want to heal you. It's not because he doesn't want to save you. It's not because he doesn't want to bless you. But you have to play your part. Pastor Brian preached a message last week. Faith without works is dead. Yes, it's all well and good having faith. But you've got to move beyond that. It's all well and good saying that you believe God. But that belief has got to turn into something. Even the demons believe that Jesus is Lord and they tremble. You know that? Even the demons believe it. So it's all well and good saying you have faith and you believe God. What are you doing with what you have? What are you doing with the knowledge that you have? Blind Bartimaeus, he was there. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. People were there discouraging him, putting him back. Oh, come on, shut up. Leave Jesus alone. The Bible tells us that he cried even louder. What are you doing with what you know? What are you doing with the revelation that God has given unto you? Because people of God, if you just stay there, knowledge, good though it is not enough. It's good, it's important, but it's not enough. We need to move beyond that. And my prayer is that we will use what God has given to us. God will open our understanding, open our minds. We'll be prepared for action to do what God wants us to do, that we may receive what he has in store for us. Some of you are looking at me right now, and you're looking so confused and perplexed. Please don't be. Christianity, serving God, is not complex. It's not. Perhaps we make it complex. We have all our rules and regulations and this and that and the other. But it is simple. He who comes to me, the Bible says, I will in no wise cast out. You have a welcome invitation to your Father. And I pray that we use it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I'll actually preach another message. Maybe I should just sit down now through all this. Take your Bibles, please, with me to see Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read it from verse 19 to verse 25. Hebrews 10, from verse 19 to verse 25. Are we there? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way through which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The title of today's message is Hold Fast Your Confession. Now, we had a baptismal service last Sunday. Interesting, I had a number of candidates who went through the waters and confessed and acknowledged the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And one thing I say during that service, the short message I gave, is that the Bible tells us that if you all confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I mentioned two things that we need to have a confession. That's something that, if you like, verbally comes out of our mouth. And we have to believe. And really, our confession should just be an expression of what we believe. And we live in a world where there's so much chaos, so much bad news we hear about. You know, you only have to, you know, turn on the TV, the radio, newspaper, whatever, and you read about all the muggings going on in London, or even going on in our country. There was a report I heard of how someone who was charged with manslaughter for going into the house of a 100-year-old woman, and in the process he broke her neck as he was trying to mug her. And I just thought to myself, who on earth would want to do something like that? Bible tells us that the heart of man is desperately wicked. To do something to such an elderly, vulnerable person. And we read about all the muggings. I'm sure you've heard about it. Of course, you have all the moped crimes, these smash and grab raids, which have been going on. And I'm not here to get into political arguments. People say, do the politicians have the answer? Is it because of the police cars? Is it because of funding? You know, everyone has their own opinion as to what the issue is and how to solve it. And I'm not here to talk about that. But there's a danger that if you just listen to what's going on in the news all the time, without refocusing your mind, you begin to lose hope in what's going on. Can things ever get better? Will things get worse? Is this what it's like? Perhaps I should move out of London because things are bad. You know, one of our offices, we have an office in South Africa, and one of the managers came over there one time and came over to London. And then she was telling us that people back in South Africa were telling her, you know what, are you sure you're safe in London? All those acid attacks and everything going on. And she was like, you know what, London's even safer than South Africa, where she comes from. You have a sense that people just think, you know, wherever you are, it's dangerous, it's violent, it's rough, it's tough, and so on and so forth. And you begin to wonder, well, look, what's going on in the world today? Where can I base, if you like, my hope? People think, well, things can't get any better, or things can't get any worse, rather, and then perhaps they do. And you wonder, what is going on? Where do we base our hope? Where do we base our confidence? As believers, our hope, our confidence should be in Christ and Christ alone. Not in the economy, not in what's going on around us, because things could falter. Not in Brexit or no Brexit, whatever is going on there. Not in, you know, all the stuff, all the news that we hear about, things going on. Will interest rates rise or fall? Will this or that happen? Our hope, our confidence, our focus should not be in those things. It should be in the Word of God. It should be in what Christ has done. And in the passage that we read, the writer to the Hebrews was encouraging his audience to hold fast onto something. You know, when the Bible tells us to hold fast, it's something that is important, that is precious, that we should not let go. He tells them to hold fast the confession of your hope. There is something that he's encouraging the people, telling the people that they should confess. It's about their hopes, about their future. Hold fast onto that, because we live in a world where if you're not careful, your hope could waver. Your hope could falter or fail. But he's telling them, look, you know what? You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're serving him. Hold fast unto that which you believe. Hold fast unto that hope. You hold it fast unto the very end. There's an inheritance for you. Mm. So this morning, I want to speak on that. So hold fast your confession, the confession of your hope. You see, hope is a very important word, very interesting word. And interestingly enough, you know, Pastor Brown spoke about faith last week. Interestingly enough, hope and faith are actually related. The verse that we know so much about faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. In fact, some commentators would say that's not a definition of faith. That tells you what faith does. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Another way of looking at it is this. The word substance could also be translated as foundation. Tells me this, faith is the foundation on which I build my hope. And that tells me that, therefore, without faith, I don't have any hope anyway. That's true. Without faith, there's no hope.
Yeah.
Faith is the foundation on which I build my hope. Mm-hmm. And the hope we're talking about, the hope of the believer, it's not just one of those positive things you say, oh, I hope it doesn't rain. Oh, I hope I'll get there on time. That's not the hope that we're talking about. The hope of the believer is a guaranteed certainty.
Yes.
It is something that we know will happen.
Yeah.
It is something that therefore we look forward to. Mm. Because we know it will happen. It's not a case of, well, yeah, maybe, or you know, if the circumstances are right. No, this is guaranteed. This will happen.
Yeah.
There's a brighter future, a brighter tomorrow. We have an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you study the book of Hebrews, a very interesting book, which I love, by the way, it's about a group of, or the audience rather, was written to a group of Jewish Christians who were in danger of going back to Judaism because they were being persecuted, they were wanting Jesus to come, wondering why he hadn't come, you know, they're probably getting fed up and what have you, and there was a danger of them going back to Judaism, going back to the law. Going back to the old ways. And what the writer does is to encourage them to stay with Jesus. This Jesus whom you serve, this Jesus whom you're following, he is the best. There's no alternative. There's no rival. There's nothing better than him. Hold on to him.
Yeah.
And he encourages them, one by telling them, for example, that Jesus is their high priest. Yeah. Better than any of the other high priests which they had. Telling them that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. And they sacrificed year after year after year. But this man Jesus, he sacrificed once. And you know what? He's coming back, but he's not coming back to die on the cross again. He's coming back and he's not coming back to shed his blood again. He did it once and he said, it is finished. So he encourages his audience to hold fast unto the Lord Jesus Christ. To not waver, to not falter in it. And telling them in the process that they have something to look forward to. You see, the word hope used several times in scripture. Sometimes it's referred to as a living hope. Peter does say in 1 Peter chapter 1. It's a glorious hope. It's a hope definitely of a better future, a better tomorrow. But it is in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. We sing that song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know what, people? I was thinking about that hymn just this morning as I was coming in. And I was saying to myself, you know what? That is a confession of our hope. That is what we should be saying.
Yeah.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's not on my bank balance. It's not on the friends that I have. It's not on the economy. It's not on whatever's going on. It's Jesus' blood and righteousness. Nothing, no one else. It tells me that therefore, you see, that is the one constant we have in a world of change. That is the one certainty we have in all the ups and downs which are going on. That Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That what he said he will do is what he will do. And that's why in the passage we read, the writer says this, he is faithful who has promised. We may be faithless at times, perhaps even all the time. We may be faithless, but God is faithful. God, His word, we can rely on. His word we can forever depend on. And it is therefore on that basis that the writer encourages us to hold fast unto our confession. He is faithful who has promised. It brings therefore to your mind, well, what are the promises of God? You know, people, on the serious note, we really need to go back to the word of God. We really need to go back to His word, to study His word, to hear what He is saying to us. If we need to use commentaries and Bible study guides, use them. But ask God to guide you. And yes, I know we have Bible study here on a Tuesday. But let me tell you something. Let me encourage you. Don't just rely on that. You need your own time of Bible study as well. You need your own time to in your closets. Good, as much as I encourage people, yes, to come on the Tuesday, don't just view that as the be-all and end-all. He is faithful who has promised. You know what I'm promising His words? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, someone please help me out. mumbling going on, but we got there in the end. He goes to prepare a place for us, that where He is, there too we will be. He is faithful who has promised. Because we know where we are going, we know the future. Yes, we do know, because we're in God's hands. We hold the hand of God, and He tells us what's going to happen. Because of that, we have a hope that should not falter, that should not waver, that it goes through all the wind and the waves, it should still stand strong. That where He is, there too we will be. He promised His disciples the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. He said, look, I will not leave you alone. Yes, I may be going, but I'm not going to leave you alone. He gave them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom we too have to this day. He is faithful who has promised. I am the Lord who heals you. We've known people who've known healing. We've known Jehovah Jireh, my provider. We've known the Lord who is my shepherd, I shall not want. We've known Him, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is stayed on thee. We know that He ever lives to make intercession for us. The accuser of the brethren, the devil, is there accusing us before God day and night. But Jesus stands as our intercessor, our advocate before the Father. And therefore the plans of the devil are brought to naught. He is faithful who has promised. That is the God that we serve. And therefore, people of God, we therefore need to change our confession. We've said here before several times, and we say it again. With a lot of us, we can destroy ourselves and build ourselves with the tongue. Life and death, the Bible says, is in the power of the tongue. I think a few Sundays ago when I spoke, I encouraged parents. I said, parents, please, one thing you must never ever do is curse your children. Doesn't matter how much they drive you up the wall, how much they irritate you, how much they do all sorts of things. You speak good into their lives. You see that evil, you turn that negative into a positive, and speak good into their lives in the name of Jesus. Why? Because our tongue, especially as parents, especially when you have authority over someone, what you speak into their lives could be very dangerous, or it could really build them up, or be very powerful. That's why we encourage parents, you know, don't speak evil of your children. Pray for them, encourage them, bless them, but don't curse them. And we ourselves, you need to be careful about what you also say to yourself as well. You know, people say, you know what, oh, I'm fed up with things, or you know what, I want to end my life, and all kinds of silly, crazy things that people say. Words that, as a believer, should not come out of our mouths. And then sometimes we wonder why things are happening. It's something that has been coming to me for quite a while now. That whole thing about life and death is in the power of the tongue. When we speak, when we make our confession in the Lord Jesus Christ, that however bad things are around me, I know that in God, victory is mine. That's our confession. However bad my current situation is, In Jesus Christ, I have the victory. That's my confession. You open your mouth and you make it. You open your mouth and you proclaim it. Why? Because you're speaking into the atmosphere and you're speaking positive things into your life and into the lives of others. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith, seeing that we have a high priest. Let me say this. Jesus Christ, as we know, he died. He rose. He ascended into heaven. The only basis on which we can come to God is because of what Jesus has done. You with me? The only basis under which we can come to Jesus, come to God, is because of what Jesus has done. We have no other recourse. Salvation, as the Bible tells us, is found in no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. When we start, if you like, adding things, if that's the right phrase, to our salvation, we are missing the mark, we're missing the point. What I'm trying to say is this, people of God, don't try and justify yourself before God. Come to God and say, God, because of your grace and mercy, I'm asking for your forgiveness. Not because I pay my tithes every Sunday. Not because I sit in the front row every Sunday. Not because I'm always doing good things. Your only recourse is because of what Jesus has done on the cross. By grace are you saved through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Your works, people, do not save you. Yes, we are saved to do good works. We are saved to show forth the glory of God. We are saved, yes, to proclaim his goodness. But let me make this very, very clear. Your works do not save you. What did Jesus say? On that day, people will say to me, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do this, that, and the other in your name? He will say, I know you not. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. My prayer is that will not be said of us. Of any of us here in the name of Jesus. Seeing that we have a high priest who's gone into the heavens. Seeing that we have the Lord Jesus who ever lives to make intercession for us. Let us hold fast to the confession that we have. Let us know that our tomorrow is far better than our presence. This body that we live in is a shell. This body that we live in, one day we're going to give it up. Whether that's because physically we die, we pass away, or we're alive and Jesus comes and then we rise up to meet him. Whichever way you look at it, one day this physical body, we're going to give it up. Thank God for healings. Thank God for people being set free. But I tell you something, people of God, this body, though we crave and we cry that it be made whole, this is not the body that we'll have in heaven. We will be changed. The corruptible will put on incorruption. The perishable will put on the imperishable. And we will live and we will reign with Christ forever. People, that is the hope that we're looking forward to in God. That is the hope, therefore, that should keep us going on and on and on in the things of God. Now, I don't know what situation everyone here is going through. But I know this. Victory is ours in the name of Jesus. Amen. Provided we do not waver. But this is the point. Hold fast your confession without wavering. And you ask me, what does it mean to waver? Well, let's look at it this way. This was ages ago. I was on a plane to Belgium, and at the time, just as we were making our landing into Antwerp in Belgium, there was a lot of turbulence. It was a very turbulent flight, actually, the most turbulent flight I've ever been on. And we were going from work, and there was a colleague with me, and literally he turned red. As we were landing, it felt like at one point we went over a massive pothole. You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced massive turbulence like that. We're just, you know, just here, and they just said, boom! And then the lady who sat next to me, she screamed. There was a turbulent flight, and my colleague, who, it's amazing how people say that they don't know God, they don't believe in God. Yeah, when they have a near-death experience, oh God, help me. I sometimes wonder which God they're talking to or they're praying to, seeing that they don't believe in God. You know. But we landed safely, thank God, and we're all fine. Everyone on the flight was fine. You know, but the point is this. Sometimes people could go through those experiences and they could think that they're going to die. They could think, oh no, this is the end of me. I didn't think that. Yes, I didn't feel comfortable during the turbulence, but I didn't think that my life is going. I didn't waver in that belief that, look, you know, will I make it, will I not make it? Life throws at us people all kinds of situations and circumstances that if we're not careful could throw us off course. The turbulence of life could throw us left, right, and center. Yet we're being encouraged here to hold fast without wavering, without being toppled over, without wanting to give up, without wanting to go back to Egypt. Hold fast unto it. Yes, there are situations in your life that could cause you to wonder, is God really with me? If really there is a God in heaven, why am I going through this? There are times when we ask ourselves, God, why am I going through this? If you're there, oh God, why is all this happening to me? God, I don't understand. We're baffled, we're confused, we're perplexed. But in the midst of all of this, the message to us is that we do not waver. You know, I've known people, you know, as I said, I know, thank God we pray for healings and people are healed. I've known people who we pray for healing and they've not been healed and they've passed away. And it's been tough trying to understand it. A good friend of mine, he lost his sister at 33 to cancer. 5 years she was battling cancer. People were praying for her left, right, and center. She still passed away. 33, and I'm thinking, God, why? People were praying for her. You know, we interceded and we prayed. Your word says, I was wondering, I said to myself, God, your word says 70 years is all we have. But hang on a minute, God, she was 33. She wasn't even half of 70. And she's gone. I don't understand this. I can't explain why she's not here today. I can't explain why I saw my friend there really crying his eyes out because of his one and only sister that he lost. I can't explain that. But one thing I know is this. God is faithful. And although we may not understand what happened, God knows. And one thing that gave me confidence, yes, she passed away, but she knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Hard though it may be, people of God, at times though we may not understand it, what we do is that we submit to God and say, God, yes, at times we don't understand what you're going through, but God, we are going to remain focused on you. And let that be encouragement to any of us here. I don't know what everyone here is going through, but people, do not waver. Hold fast. Because it is he who endures to the end who will be saved. It is he who endures to the very end who will be saved. We all know that life is rough and tough. I don't need to say that. I know we all go through our own struggles and trials and what have you. But God is faithful. May God be glorified. Let us not allow the cares of this world to get in the way. Yes, there will be opposition. Back when I was in uni, the song that we used to sing, though the giants may be on the way to hinder, God will surely give us victory. Goliath may be there, and his army may be spitting out threats, maybe terrorizing, maybe scaring people. Though the giants may be on their way, our way to hinder, God will surely give us victory. He who promised is. Come on, people of God, let's say, he who promised is. That therefore is the hope. That therefore is what we base our hope on. The faithfulness of our God. The God who said what he will do, is that is what he will do. He promised the children of Israel that he will bring them out of Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey. He did it. Yeah, yeah. They may have been faithless and not believed him, and they may have, a lot of them may have suffered and may have been punished on the way, but God did what he said he would do. When God told Abraham, you're going to have a child, he who promised is faithful. Abraham had that child. Don't know what situation you're going through, but what I want you to do, people of God, is to hold fast onto the promise of God. Hold fast onto what God is saying, is telling you. Let that build faith in you. Stand on the foundation of faith. And on that foundation, therefore, build your hope.
Yeah, yeah.
On that foundation, know that tomorrow is better. Mm. Know that in Jesus Christ, victory is yours. You see, God doesn't want us to remain babes in Christ. God wants us to move on in him. Even in this book of Hebrews, you know, the writer to Hebrews at one point, he alludes to that. Some of you have become dull or hard of hearing. And he's expecting progress for people to have moved on in the things of God. Not just to stay where they are. People, let me encourage each and every one of us here as well. No one here is too young to be used by God. No one here is considered inferior, secondhand on God's sight. There are people here that God wants to use, that God wants to touch, that God wants to bless. The question is this, will you avail yourself of him? Will you tell him, Lord, I'm available for you to use me. I'm available for you to touch me. I'm going to hold fast onto your promise. I'm not going to waver. That confession, the promises of your word, of what you have told me in your word, I'm holding on to that without wavering, without doubting. Though things are going left and right, topsy-turvy for me, I'm holding on to that, oh God. Because you know what? The end of something, the end is better than the beginning. The end is even better than what you're going through. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, that, and I'll paraphrase it, what we're going through right now is nothing compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. If you could have a glimpse of eternity and compare it to what you're going through right now, you would say, what I'm going through is nothing. Tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now sat at the right hand of God. He knew what was before him. He knew what the end would be from what was going on. Therefore, he endured everything and went through and got the victory. What are we saying, people of God? What God has in store for you? No mind can understand it. No eye has seen it. It hasn't even entered into the understanding of man. What God has prepared for those who love him. That is why we need to hold fast, that we will get to where God wants us to be. And we will get there. And as the verse tells us there, as we see the day approaching, you know what, we've been saying this time after time. Sister Debbie, you say, thank you so much, Debbie. You say it several times. Look, Jesus Christ is coming soon. Amen?
Amen.
You know what, if you like, come say amen. It makes no difference. He's coming anyway.
That's true.
You know, that changes nothing. Say amen, don't say amen. It changes nothing. Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Amen.
Will you be ready for him? Will you be prepared for him as you see the day approaching, the day of the Lord, when he comes, when all eyes will see him, all eyes will behold him. But the question is this, all eyes may see him, but will all eyes, will all people be with him? The Bible says that we will be forever with the Lord. Is that you? Are you one of those people who will be forever with the Lord? Or are you just one of those who see from a distance and then he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. All eyes will see him, but will all eyes be with him? That's a decision for you to make. I can't make that for you. But my prayer is this, that as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, as we fervently labor in the vineyard of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will hold fast unto what he has for us. We will not falter in Jesus. We will not waver. We will not give up. We will not throw in the towel. No, in the name of Jesus. I love that verse that says, if anyone should draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But I like what it says afterwards. See, that sounds negative. My soul will have no pleasure in him. But he ends it by saying, we are not of those that draw back on perdition. Amen. We are those who believe to the saving of the soul. Drawing back is not for us. Amen. Backsliding is not for us. We are not of those who draw back on perdition. We are of those who believe, and we will believe to the very end. We will worship him. We will serve him until the very end. We'll serve him forever and ever. That's why I love that song we sang, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. For endless days. For endless days. We will sing your praise. Hold fast unto the confession of your hope. Do not waver. Do not be thrown left, right, and center. But focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's rise our feet, please. We have a hope. Hope that is guaranteed in Christ. A hope that the Bible tells us we have as an anchor. Songwriter says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure, whilst the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. We have hope as an anchor. Despite what's going on, we keep our hope. Why don't you pray for yourself right now? With heads bowed. Lord, please help me not to falter, not to waver. May I be grounded in faith. Yes, may I, if you like, walk on the foundation of faith. Because without faith, we have no hope anyway. Without faith, we are hopeless. The Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let's start from that foundation. We're going to live by faith. We're going to walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. Lord, help me to be one who lives and walks by faith. As his word tells us, we walk by faith, not by sight. And as we lay our foundation of faith, now pray and ask God that the hope that we will hold fast unto that confession of our hope in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, may I hold fast, may nothing steer me off course. May nothing, O God, cause me to waver. Hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering, without faltering. Hold fast in the name of Jesus. If that's you, you're thinking of giving up. You're wondering, God, why is all this happening to me? Hold fast unto that hope in the name of Jesus. You have a better future, a brighter tomorrow, a brighter future in God. So why do you want to throw it away? Why do you want to throw in the towel now? When what God has in store for you is far better than what you're going through right now. Father, I pray that you will keep us focused on eternity. Keep us focused on eternity, O God, in the name of Jesus. Keep us focused on the things of God. Situations are around us, O God, which challenge us, which baffle us, which surprise us. We wonder what's going on. But Father, you know. We therefore commit ourselves unto your hands. say, Lord, take charge and take control. Yes, do it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. With all our heads bowed, is there anyone here who wants to give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ? I say that the basis of our hope, our faith, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ and the work he did on the cross. I said salvation is found in no one else, no other name, no other person than the Lord Jesus Christ. With all heads bowed, is there anyone here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and wants to know him? Please just raise your hands. Please let me encourage you not to be shy, not to be embarrassed. We're not here to show you up. We're not here to make a mockery of anyone. If that's you, you want to know him, you don't know him and you want to know him, please just raise your hands where you are. If that means here that we're all believers, we'll praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to do something right now. I said, he who promised is faithful. I want you to think of a promise of God in your life. Maybe it's something you've read from the Word of God. Maybe it's something that God has revealed to you. He who promised is faithful. Why don't you pray for yourself right now and say, Lord, may that promise come to pass in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is. Perhaps you've been looking to God for something. You're saying, Lord, by your word says this, your word says that. Well, you know, present it to him right now. He who promised is faithful. And therefore, this morning, we are leaning on the faithfulness of God. That is what we are relying on, the faithfulness of our God. He's not a man who should lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Will he not do it? Will he not make it good? You think of a promise to God, of God to your life. May that come to pass, O God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lastly, you know what? Why don't you pray and ask God to give you a new tongue? Some of us, our tongues, you know, it's as if some of us need tongue surgery. Why don't you pray and ask God to give you a new tongue? That you will speak good and, you know, and stop speaking evil. Whether that's evil about yourself, about other people, you stop speaking evil, you speak what is good. That your confession will be right. Your confession will therefore be acceptable in God's sight. Come on, why don't you pray for yourself? Say, Lord, touch my tongue. This small member that can do so much damage. Confession will be right before you, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your word to us once again. That we have a hope, we have a future in you, a bright, a glorious, a blessed future. Go before us, Lord, and be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God.
While everybody's head is bowed, the Lord's been speaking to me just about people in this place. It's been so hard for you, and at times you feel like giving up the journey. Well, this word has been for you this morning, and God wants to strengthen you in your walk. You feel like you just want to give up and just walk away from God. While every head is bowed, I want to pray for you this morning. I want you to raise your hands because the Lord has shown me some people in here. God wants to fill you with vigor and power to continue the race. If that is you, you know who you are. I just want you to raise your hands because God is going to strengthen you as you run the race. Father, in the name of Jesus, those hands that are raised this morning, God, pray, God, in the name of Jesus right now, they will receive the supernatural empowering of your spirit, God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your power will be upon them. They will be strengthened as they continue this journey, this race. Father, in the name of Jesus, those hands, God, shall be runners, runners with power and authority in Jesus' name.